So, wir lernen gemorgen das Test sein omit alle. And if you remember, we're looking for a source. Where does it say that in order to go to the Milchama, you have to have a Bezdin of 71? We brought a Pasuk in the Chumash. The Gemara rejected that because maybe that's just discussing who asks the Urim v'Tumim. And eventually we brought the story of David HaMelech, who had a kinoir, a harp that used to play by itself at Chatzos HaLaila when the wind blew. And then he used to tell his people, go and fight a war in order to get Parnassa. And he used to tell them quite clearly, go and consult with the Sanhedrin. So we missed out a number of Rashis. We'd like to learn these Rashis. Oh, good morning, Rabbi Yisra. From Nachum, you're with us? I take it you're with us. Okay, have a look at Rashi. Right at the end of the narrow lines. Kinoir. Says Rashi, Kinoir, Nekev Shaloi, Klapei Tzofin. The hole in it, which would bring out the sound, faced the Tzofin, Klapei Tzofin Hoya, was facing towards the north. Ubalailo ruach tzofeino menasheves. And at night, it is the northerly wind that blows. Now, Rashi is going to explain in great detail more about these various winds. The Kaimalon in Balabastra, because we hold, it's a Gemara in Balabastra, arba ruchois menashvois b'cholyoim. There are four winds that blow every single day. Mizrochis b'boiker. An easterly wind blows in the morning. V'ruach doroimis, and a southerly wind b'chatzi hayoim, at midday. Uma'arovis, and a westerly wind b'tchilas laila, the beginning of the night. And then utzfoinis, the northerly wind b'chatzi laila, halfway through the night, which we call midnight. So the northerly wind apparently blows at midnight, and that's when it blew into the kinoir, causing it to play, as it were, by itself. Says Rashi, v'tzafoynes b'chatzi laila, and the northerly wind would blow halfway through the night, k'mahalech chamo. Sh'mahaleches mi mizrach Ledorin. So the wind is following the mahalach, the direction of the sun. Just like the sun, where does it rise? It rises in the east. And then moves over to the Dorin. Umi Dorin lemarav, umi marav letzofin. So too, the wind is following in that direction as well. So the beginning of the day, just like the sun comes from the east, so does the wind. And then it moves to Doraim, and then Marov, etc., etc. V'tanya b'yavomis, with a brace in Yavomis that says, Kol oison arboim shono shahoyu Yisrael b'midbar. All of those 40 years that Klal Yisrael were in the midbar. Afal pi shenizoifim hoyu. What does it mean, nizayfim? Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, was angry with Klal Yisrael for the entire duration of the 40-year stay in the Midbar. That's what it means, nizayfim. Nizayfim means they were, as it were, spawned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with them. And as a result, v'loy Noshva lohem ruach tzofonis bayoim. The northerly wind, says the Gemara, never blew for them at the day. Now, that lechoira sounds very tricky. We just said that the northerly wind blows at chatzi halayla. So what does the Gemara mean When it says in Yevamos that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Klal Yisrael, so the northerly wind never blew during the day. The northerly wind doesn't blow during the day, it blows at night. So what does the Gemara mean that it never blew at the day? So the Gemara carries on and says that even though the northerly wind didn't blow during the day, but loy hoyo yoim shaloy nosh v'lem ruach tzafoynes b'chatzi alayla, quote unquote, that's the end of the Gemara. So the Gemara seems to be telling you that actually the Ruach Tzafoynes essentially should blow twice a day. Once during the hours of the day and once b'chatzi alaylo. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out. That during the years of the Midbar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Klal Yisrael, so the Ruach Tzafoynes, which as we're going to see in a moment is a very healthy wind, did not blow during the day, but it did, however, blow at Chatzi HaLaila. And therefore, says Rashi, what do we see in that Gemara? Alma, we see that Chatzois Laila, that at midnight, Ace, that is the time of Nershi Vaso Lo'ilam, that is the time of its blowing forever. Upa'omim, and sometimes in addition to that, so you see that the northerly wind blowing at night, that's a constant. The northerly wind always blows at night. On occasion, it would blow at daytime as well. And that's what the Gemara is pointing out, that while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Klal Yisrael following the Cheto Egel in the Midbar, so therefore this occasional northerly wind during the day didn't blow, but it always blew at night. So says Rashi in conclusion, Vehi ruach noicho. This is a very pleasant type wind, the yofe labrios, and it is healthy for people. Vahayoim meir bo, and the day illuminates as a result of the wind. So therefore, this is the whole discussion. If we look in the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos there, as far as I remember, is actually discussing why Klal Yisrael did not do Mila in the Midbar. It says that Klal Yisrael, for the 40-year duration, did not perform the Bris Mila. Why not? So the Gemara explains that you need to have a daytime northerly wind to blow, and that's very, very healthy for the young baby who's just gone through Mila. And the Gemara says that because Klal Yisrael did not find favors in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, therefore the northerly wind did not blow during the day. It was considered, therefore, a sakona to do Mila, and for that reason they could not do Mila. And you can imagine there are many, many halachic ramifications that I think we once discussed. If you remember, in the good old days, we used to have a Friday morning share in the Grosh.
Yes, yes.
Halachic topics on the parashas. I think we once discussed this. What's the halacha? Somebody wants to do bris mila, but he's an oinus. He can't do it. Can he do it nonetheless, even though it is an oinus? Big proofs from over here. Because the big question is, if anybody remembers, do you remember the first pasuk in parashas Nitzavim? Atem nitzavim hayoim kulchem. All of you are standing. What does it say there? It says, v'gerucho asher b'sharecha. Also the converts, the water carriers and the converts. So the huge question is, how could there possibly have been converts in Klal Yisrael if you couldn't do bris mila in the Midbar? They clearly couldn't do bris mila in the Midbar because it was a danger. Why was it danger? Because the northerly wind didn't blow. Well, if it was a danger and therefore they couldn't do bris mila, how could they have possibly been converts in Klal Yisrael? I think this was a subject we once addressed, as they say, back in the day. Yeah, Reb Larry.
Maybe Derech HaTeva, the northern wind blows at night,
Well, in the heat of the day, it really would be a miracle if Hashem gave an extra wind to bring comfort, this comforting wind. It's the heat of the day in the middle of the desert. But because they were not Zocha, they didn't get this miracle. But Derech HaTeva, the wind blows at night.
Right, Rashi seems to be right. Okay, yeah, good point. So for the main time for the blowing, you're saying is at night. That's not miraculous. That always happens, and that's not subject to Klal Yisrael's spiritual standing.
Right. And if they would have been happy in Hashem's eyes, imagine me not right, then they would have been Zocha to this miracle to cool them down in the heat of the day, in the middle of the heat of the
Now you can imagine, I know we're going a bit off topic, but I think this is what we discussed then. As far as I remember, it was about 15 years ago on a Friday morning. This now brings up very, very, very fascinating halachic shailos. Imagine you have somebody who's 95 years old, a non-Jew, and he decides he wants to convert. And the doctors tell him, you cannot perform bris milah, it's life-threatening. You can, however, go into the mikveh. They tell him that's okay. That's not life-threatening, but to perform surgery at your age, to do a bris milah is life-threatening. So he's clearly considered an oinus. Obviously, he's an oinus because it's pikuach nefesh. So would we say, okay, I feel very sorry for him, he's an oinus, but at the end of the day, he can't do bris milah, so he can't become a convert? Or do we have perhaps halachic precedent from this Gemara that we just quoted? If it says in the Torah of a Gercha that they were Gerim, well, apparently they did convert, but we just said they couldn't do Bris Milah. So what's going on? So this is a subject of enormous controversy. Enormous controversy. There are letters actually written on the subject by Reb Chaim Isaac Grudzinski in his time around just before the Second World War. And he is absolutely adamant. He writes very, very strongly, Bashum ponim v'oifen. There is no such thing as converting and becoming a Jew without doing Bris Milah. Now, it's more complicated than we think because the Shulchan Aruch actually talks about what happens if somebody, either for medical reasons or had an accident, he doesn't actually have a Bris Milah on which you can perform the Bris Milah in the first place. That whole Eiva has been severed. So the Shulchan Aruch there says he can become a ger simply by doing tevila. So it would seem to suggest, apparently, that we do have a precedent. Apparently, you can become a convert without bris milah if it's not shaykh to do bris milah. And that's where Reb Chaim Weizer writes very, 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 very sharply. He says, no, you absolutely cannot compare the two. If he does not, sorry?
I've heard stories about where babies had hemophilia,
Right.
where perhaps one or two babies died as a result of bismillah, and they did not give on succeeding boys because they had
Correct.
hemophilia.
But there, it's a different story because there, we're talking about somebody who's already Jewish. So his bris milah is not in order to convert him, but rather it's the bris milah of a Jew. As you rightly point out, if it's pikuach nefesh, you can't do it. Here, however, we're talking about somebody who's a non-Jew. So Reb Chaim Weizer writes, you cannot possibly compare the two cases. If somebody does not have a bris milah, well, then effectively he undergoes the gerus just like a woman undergoes gerus, meaning with tefillah. Whereas if somebody has a bris milah, it's just technically you cannot do the bris milah because it's pikuach nefesh. Reb Chaim Weizer says, under no circumstances whatsoever can he become a convert. So therefore, says Reb Chaim Weizer, you cannot make a general rule that wherever it's impossible to do the bris milah, then you can become a convert just with tefillah. No, it depends. What do you mean you cannot do bris milah? If you cannot do bris milah because he doesn't have that particular organ, yes, then it's true. So he's effectively, for purposes of the gerus, treated like a woman. But if he has that eiva, it's just that technically you cannot do the bris milah because it's pikuach nefesh. Reb Chaim Weizer says absolutely b'shum ponim v'oifen shebo'olam. Even if the doctors tell you it's life-threatening and you mustn't do the bris milah, so you can't do the bris milah, he cannot become a convert.
And what about Onus Rachmana Patre?
He is an Onus, so he's Potter. We're not talking about whether he's Potter, we're talking about does he become a convert? That's why I said, if he's a Jew already, he's born a Jew, so he's got a mitzvah of Milah. So with regard to mitzvahs, you're Onus Rachmana Patre. Here, it's not a question of a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. The process of becoming a geir is to do a bris milah. It could be all the onus in the world. You can't turn on the light in your room because somebody's hand has been cut off. You might well be onus, but at the end of the day, the light doesn't come on.
I actually even understand the logic in that, because onus rachmana patre is talking about Jews, but if you haven't become a Jew yet, there is no onus rachmana patre.
Oh, that's another whole subject. But either way, onus rachmana patre only refers to mitzvahs. Here we're not talking about mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah to become a geir whatsoever. We're talking about the process. Can you become a geir? Anyway, I think we've veered off subject, but I think many, many years ago, we discussed this back in the day in the Gra Shul when it was still in a caravan.
That room in the back.
The side
room. It was a caravan. It was not the last caravan. It was the second last caravan. In fact, it's where the shul is now. Although the shul looks very different now. We dispatched a team yesterday of our interior designer and our head of the team. They went to look at a number of shuls yesterday, including the Gras shul. So we're trying to put together our interior designer, Mitzvah Shem. Okay,
Rebbe, can I? You want to get move forward? Because I just want to tell you something quickly that I thought about for your shul. Or not now?
We'll talk about it afterwards. We'll talk about it afterwards. Unless you want to donate 16 million shekel, then I'm happy to hear about it now.
I'm only at 14, so we'll pass.
Okay, 14 is not good enough. Says the Gemara Vayta. So we've a little bit veered off subject. So we have this subject of the northerly wind. Says Rashi, V'hoya David oimed v'oisek b'teira. So David HaMelech would rise every single night at Chatzos HaLaila. And he would learn, says Rashi, Kedeksiv, it's a pasuk in Tehillim actually, Chatzos Laila Okum. Says David HaMelech, I rise every night at Chatzos HaLaila. So remember, they told him that there's not enough parnasa for Klal Yisrael. They said, Ein Koimetz will not satiate the lion. What does Koimetz mean? Says Rashi, Parnasa Mu'etes. Small amounts of parnasa is not enough. Ve'ein ha'boir mismalei mechuliyasoi, neither will the pit be filled with its own earth, says Rashi. Oiker chulia, if you take out a clod of earth, miboir omuk, from a deep pit, v'choize v'shlichoi, and then you pour the earth back into the boir l'toichoi, says Rashi. Einoi mismalei bekach, it will not become full. Kloimah, that's the metaphor. So what's the nimshol? What that means is, ein sipek biyodeinu. We do not have the wherewithal, lefarnes, to sustain aniyim shebeseichenu. We simply do not have the funds or the wherewithal, the resources, to sustain the poor people amongst us. Upon which Tamar HaMelech said, you should go and fight a war, and you'll be able to then take the plunder, and that way you'll sustain Klal Yisrael. And here come the critical words, the last Rashi on the Omud, v'nimlochin b'Sanhedrin, and consult with the Sanhedrin. There's Rashi. What does that mean, consult with them? Doesn't just mean consult with them battle strategy. Rather, noitlin rashus mehen. You will seek permission, get the green light, the sanction to go to war will be taken from the Sanhedrin, the Hainu Masnisin, and that's our Mishnah. So it's brought to a full circle now. We had a Mishnah that says that when you go to war, you need 71, the Beis Din to give the green light, and it's learned from this story. Now, if you continue over the Gemara brings a Pasuk, although it's not a Pasuk in the Chumash. Omer Rav Yosef Maikra, the last words on the Omer. Says Rav Yosef, what is the Pasuk that would back this up? This is the story. What is the Pasuk that backs this up? Says the Gemara, it's a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. What does it say in the Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim? The Acharei Achitofel, Ben Yohu, Ben Yohoyada, Va'avisar v'sar tzvo l'melech yoyov. So this is Divrei HaYomim, in which all the chronicles of Klal Yisrael are listed out. So it says, Va'achare Achitofel. Now who was Achitofel? Says Rashi, says the Gemara. Achitofel ze yoyetz. Achitofel was the advisor. He was the king's advisor. How do I know? Because there's another pasuk in Shmuel, V'chein hu oimer, V'atzas Achitofel asher yo'atz. It talks about the advice that Achitofel advised. Apparently he was the advisor. Okay. So it's listing out there all the prominent positions in Klal Yisrael. So first is mentioned Achitofel. He was the advisor. Then says the Gemara. Next, Uben Yoyohu ben Yehoyada. Zu Sanhedrin. Why is Ben Yohu ben Yehoyada a reference to Sanhedrin? So Rashi on the top, Rashi says, Shehoyo Mufla Sheba Bezdin. He was the outstanding dayan of the Bezdin, and therefore that is a reference, therefore, to the Bezdin. Avisar Eilu Urim V'tumim. Avisar was a Kohen Gadol, and he was the one bearing the Urim V'tumim, V'chein Hu Oimer, with the Pasuk that backs that up as well. It says, Uben Yoyahu Ben Yehoyada, who we said before is the Sanhedrin, Al HaKreisi V'Al HaPleisi. He oversaw, as it were, the Kreisi or Pleisi. Now, what's the Kreisi or Pleisi? The Kreisi or Pleisi is a reference to the Urim V'tumim. Now, let's take this slowly. What does this pasuk mean? Uben Yoyahu Ben Yehoyada Al HaKreisi or Pleisi. Who wears the Urim V'tumim? The Kohen Gadol. And we just said the Kohen Gadol is Avisar.
So just one second, I'm just going to quieten down the twins. One second.
By the way, it just started raining. Would you believe that?
In Tel Aviv?
No, I'm in Netanya. Muzar. Yes, we've never had weather like this ever. Mashiach was fast on his way, my friend.
Yeah, we had rain. We had rain in Beit Shemesh. I can't remember. Was it
never this time of year? Never this time of year did we have rain ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Now it's been cloudy almost every day. I'm telling you.
This is very hot. Is it still hot? Is it hot by you? Very hot.
It's hot. Yes. Beautifully hot with a northern wind.
On Friday morning here during Shacharis, it was pouring.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, so what does this mean? That Ben Yoyahu Ben Yehoyada is on the Kreisi or Pleisi. Something doesn't add up over here. We just said that Ben Yoyahu Ben Yehoyada is the Sanhedrin. Avisar is the Kohen Gadol, and he's the one wearing the Urim and Tumim, which are also called the Kreisi or Pleisi, for reasons going to be explained shortly. So why does this pasuk say that Ben Yoyahu, who was the Sanhedrin, is on the Kreisi or Pleisi? He doesn't wear the Urim and Tumim, the Kohen Gadol does. So have a look at Rashi. Ala Kreisi, ala Pleisi. Hu lemalo mehem. V'koidem hoyo lohem. So Rashi is answering our question. When it says Avisar, uben Yoyahu ben Yoyodo al HaKreisi, it doesn't mean that he was wearing the Kreisi or Pleisi. Doesn't mean that he was the one with the Urim V'Tumim. Absolutely not. It's the Kohen Gadol with the Urim V'Tumim. Rather, hu lemalo mehem. He's higher up the hierarchy than them. So the way you have to translate the pasuk is uben Yoyahu ben Yoyada al HaKreisi, not wearing the Kreisi, but higher up the hierarchy of Klal Yisrael. You have Achitofel, the advisor, followed by the Sanhedrin, who is higher up the pecking order than the Urim V'Tumim.
Maybe I'm just very quick question. I'm just curious. I mean this Bechobo, not any. I thought his name was Evyasar. Why are you calling him Avisar?
Oh, maybe it's Evyasar. Yeah, you might be 100% correct. Evyasar.
I apologize. I didn't mean to.
Either way, here we have the hierarchy of Klal Yisrael. We have Achitofel, the advisor, followed by Ben Yohu Ben Yoyada, who was the Sanhedrin, followed by Evyasa, who was the Kohen Gadol, wearing the Urim V'Tumim. Now, why is the Urim V'Tumim called the Krasi or Plasi? Says the Gemara, V'loma Nikra Shmam, Krasi or Plasi, quote unquote. Why do we call the Urim V'Tumim the Krasi or Plasi? Says the Gemara, Krasi Shekoyrsin Divrehem. Koyres, like we know from the punishment, Koyres means to cut. Koyres is somebody's Rachmana Litzlan cut off Makadosh Baruch Hu. So the Urim V'Tumim would paskin the Shaila. When we ask a Shaila and the Rav paskins our Shaila, what does that word mean, paskin? What does paskin mean? Psak halacha. What does psak mean? Psak is also means to cut, like a hefsek. A hefsek is when you cut something. Answer is over here also. You cut sharp the halacha. It doesn't mean to break it up. To cut means to, as it were, execute. This is it, the absolute clear psak. Therefore, the same word is krasi. Krasi is to cut. That means to paskin the shayla. And that's what the Urim V'Tumim was doing. Number one. That was why it's called krasi. Uplasi. Why is it called plasi? Plasi is a completely different word from the word Pele, wondrous, shemufla'in ma'asehen, because they were wondrous in their deeds. Not only was Urim V'Tumim capable of paskening a shayla, but it was wondrous as an incredible miracle the way it worked. Okay, now we carry on the pasuk. V'achar kach sar tzvo hamelech yoyov. Then came the head of the army to the king of Yoav. Omar Bitzot Breder of Adav, Omri Lo, Omar Bitzot Barav, Dimi Mai Kro. What is the pasuk that suggests that there was a harp hanging over the bed? Because it says, Ura Kavoidi Ura Hanevel Vechinoir Oiro Shochar. Have a look at Rashi on the fourth narrow line. Mai Kro, the Kinoir Tolui Al Mitosai Shel David. Where do we know? It's a story related to us, but is there a source anywhere? Is there a pasuk that suggests that there was a harp hanging over the bed of David, umekitzoi, and would wake up David mishnosoi from his sleep, diksiv o'iro hoshachar. What does o'iro mean? Like lehit orer, to wake up. Ani ma'orer hashachar. I, as it were, says David HaMelech, wake up the morning, meaning I'm up before the morning arrives. V'loi kashar melochim, not like other kings, shahashacha koidem u'ma'oriron, not like other kings where the morning comes first and then wakes them up. Rather, I am waking up the morning. Okay, that's the sugya over here. I think we have time, Be'ezus Hashem, to make a start to the next sugya. Let's, as we always do, have a look back now in the Mishnah in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah in Daf Beis Amud Aleph says, Ve'ein moisifin al ho'ir ve'al ho'azoreis elo api bezn shalom ve'echod. What does that mean, moisifin al ho'ir? Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, has many, many halachic ramifications of its borders. Some korbanos, for example, have to be eaten within the confines of Yerushalayim. So clearly, it's very important to us to know the exact borders of Yerushalayim. Ma'is Hasheni has to be taken and consumed in Yerushalayim. So once again, I need to know what are the exact borders of Yerushalayim. Now, Yerushalayim, although having very defined borders, but those borders can be changed, as in added on to the city. Yerushalayim can be expanded. And if it's expanded, then the halachic borders of Yerushalayim expand as well, which, as mentioned, would have ramifications in Hilchos Karbonos and Hilchos Ma'is Hasheni. So the Mishnah says, but in order to do that, you cannot expand the borders of Yerushalayim unless it's done so in the presence of 71. So now have a look at our Gemara. Ein moisifin al ho'ir. You cannot add to the city, meaning to Yerushalayim, unless you have 71 dayonim. So once again, as the Gemara has done in every single line of the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, Mino Hanamiri. How do you know? Where is the Torah source that in order to change the borders of Yerushalayim, we require the Beis Din HaGadol of 71? Omar Rev Simi Bar Chia Omar Kro. It's a pasuk. It says, Kochoil Asher Ani Mare Oyscho Estavnis HaMishkan. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as I demonstrate and explain to you, show you the exact design of the Mishkan. Now listen to these critical words. V'chein ta'asu l'doirois habo'in. So too shall you do for all future generations. Now what does that mean? Says Rashi. Kein ta'asu l'doirois. Ma Mishkan. Just like the Mishkan was al pi Moshe, v'hu bimkoim Sanhedrin gedoilo. As we've mentioned many, many times, Moshe Rabbeinu was, as it were, equitable to the Sanhedrin Agol. So it's telling you that the Mishkan's design has to be in accordance with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that the Torah is adding, so too for all future generations, you should do the same. So too, in all future generations, when you're talking about the design, not of the Mishkan, but rather of the city Yerushalayim, it's got to once again be done in accordance with the Sanhedrin, just like the way it was always done in the time of the Mishkan, Al Pi Moshe Rabbeinu, who is equated to a Sanhedrin. Okay. So we have made a start. Be'ez Hashem will continue tomorrow. It's not a difficult Gemara, so we'll try and at least reach the two dots towards the end of the narrow lines, if not further, Mitz Hashem.
You want to hear my quick thing for you, Yeshiva?
Go ahead.
Yes.